Our New Testament reading for this morning comes from the Gospel of John and chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what it reveals to us about who you are and who we are in you. And I pray, Lord, may we hear your voice through this scripture this morning. Amen. Seems a really apt passage, doesn't it, to look at on this APCM Sunday in what has been a very fruitful season of growth for us as a church. And important to remember that this is against the context of a very different picture, both nationally and perhaps even locally, in terms of declining numbers of people attending Church of England churches. A report published in March showed that the national attendance post-pandemic was only 78% of what people were seeing in 2019 before the pandemic. And even with online services factored in, and of course not everybody offers that, that only brought the average to 89%. It's quite a sad and worrying picture that in less than 3 years, many churches have shrunk between 10 or 20%. But not us. Last year alone, we grew by a fraction under 20%. We are now 14% bigger on a Sunday than we were in 2019. This is great news, and we should rejoice in what God is doing amongst us. I think perhaps for us, the pandemic was a pruning season. Very much so, perhaps personally, but also for us as a church. And now we are starting to see the fruitfulness on the other side. Why are we seeing that? Well, I think it's down to the choices that we have made as we have tried to discern and do what God has been saying to us. Now, wonderful as all that is, in many, many ways, but numerical success is not the kingdom measure that we are after. Because at the heart of fruitfulness in John 15 is a different concept: abiding. Because helping people to abide in Jesus is what we, the church, have to offer people. Helping people abide in Christ is our core business, above all else. We're not after attenders on a Sunday, but making disciples. And that abiding, when people abide in Christ, when the church does its job, that is when we see God glorified, as we read in verse 10. And I want to take a little bit of time this morning to dig into what it means to abide in Christ. It's a really powerful concept, and I think it's worthy of our time today. I had a prayer day with this passage earlier in the year, and as I was reading through it and asking God what was he saying, it already kind of put the passage on my heart. One verse stood out, and it was like God put a highlighter pen on it. And it was this: abide in me as I abide in you. Abide in me, says Jesus, as I, Jesus, abide in you. These are perhaps the most seven powerful words in all of Scripture about what Jesus offers us in a relationship with him. And I think it's helpful to look at the second half first. How does Jesus abide in us? To give us an idea of how we might then abide in him. And this Greek word that's translated in the NRSV as abide, sometimes it's translated as remain. It literally means to remain at home. And we read in Scripture that the way in which Jesus remains at home or abides in us is by living in us by the Holy Spirit. That God has given us a tiny little spark of the divine that lives literally inside of me and inside of you. And we see this concept of God abiding in us all over Scripture. We see it in Ezekiel, in Isaiah, in John, in Acts, in Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Timothy. First, you get the idea, right? This is not a metaphor. This is reality. When we say yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit walks on in, quite literally, into us. And that level of closeness, intimacy, is what Jesus has with us. Literally living inside of us. And of course, the flip side is that that's what he offers us with God in return. Just as God lives in your body by the Spirit, that is how close you can know God in return in your life. It is as close a connection as the branches to the vine. It is both intimate and personal, but it's also life-giving and sustaining. And I must confess that as I read that verse, I was quite literally, my mind was blown afresh. Just overwhelmed totally that God would love me so much that that's what he would offer me for my life. And I had to sit there for goodness knows how long, just allowing the enormity of what I just realised afresh about God to sink in. That God loves me so much that he has a transformative relationship that is close with me, and he wants to bear fruit in my life. And our vision that we believe God led us to a couple of years ago is to be transformed by Jesus. That's the first half of it. And that's right at the heart of abiding. Because you can't be that close to God and stay the same. Because that relationship, that intimacy, it changes us and leads us to the place of changing the world with Jesus, the second half of our vision, as a result. Because when we reorient our lives around Jesus, stuff shifts. Who we are changes and is transformed, and we start living in a different way. And that's what's on offer to us. And I believe this core concept of abiding in Jesus, I believe that is what we are called to focus on as a church in this season of life. Now, I might use lots of different language for that. I might talk about discipleship. I might talk about growing in our faith. I might talk about learning together or serving together. But the aim of whatever that language is, it's not to fill you up with interesting information, but it's about all of it is about equipping us to abide in Jesus. That's my job. That's our job as leaders, is to better understand and help us understand that relationship with Jesus and how it shapes our life. Now, this is a huge, huge thing. And the passage actually offers us one caveat as well. And it's worth mentioning. Jesus says not all will want to abide. And I don't offer that as a sort of a pejorative thing, but it's simply an observation. It's important to hear the truth because it's something that Jesus has said to us. I think for us as a church, it's important to remember that we cannot be all things to all people. And how we as a church can help you to abide won't always fit what everybody wants. And I'm just trying to be open and honest with us there. But our intent is always to offer something that will help the vast majority. And the longing of all those of us who lead is all that will grow, that everybody will abide and grow in their relationship with Jesus. So I'm going to talk a little bit practically now about how we are coming at this, given the growth that we have seen and the way that changes just the nature of how we do things in our current context. And if it's helpful to extend the gardening metaphor of pruning and abiding and fruitfulness and being part of the vine, then what I'm talking about now is about the trellis, the thing that supports the different ways in which we will abide, in which we will sustain and make room for more growth. And I want to think about that broadly in two areas today. The first is getting connected, and the second is staying connected. And for those of you who like visuals, think of them as like a big Venn diagram, because they're not exclusive. They kind of cross over at quite a large chunk in the middle. So let's have a look at the first one, getting connected. Well, first of all, it is right to be joyful at the growth we have seen. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing, as we've seen, you know, not happening necessarily elsewhere. So one of the things we need to do and work on, focus on, is help people connect into the vine. We need to help people who are coming to our church, perhaps for the first time as adults, to meet Jesus and to build that abiding relationship with him. And I hasten to add, that is not just for the new people. And then we need to help people connect into our community, because the context for growth and life is our church family, isn't it? We aren't Christians by ourselves. We are connected, brothers and sisters, all branches off the same plant, so to speak. And we're now at a size as a church where it's simply not possible for everyone to know everyone. So we are working hard to become more intentional about how we welcome and get to know people. It's a bit of a work in progress, but already we've begun a series of termly welcome events where we try and invite everybody we've clocked who is new to come and spend some time with some of our leaders and each other, an opportunity to meet people. We're again trying very intentionally to put in social events, and we're targeting those at the times and places when most people are about. We've been doing a termly brunch. We have a barbecue scheduled for July. Again, we're trying to help make places where people can get to know one another and can abide. Again, we're trying to plan our learning, our discipleship around the stuff that will help people meet people where they are. We want to use the mediums that age connection. We are, you know, still a work in progress, but we are trying to leverage, for example, digital tools as part of our new palette alongside the things we know that still work well from before. We're also actively looking for new ways to involve newer people in serving. The last thing I want is when somebody comes into one of our services to think, well, gosh, being on the whatever rotor it is looks like some sort of long-term service award. So that's our first part, is about helping people get connected. And the second strand of that is about staying connected. And this is not just about how do we help people find Jesus in a home in church, but how do we keep that an ongoing process? It's not a one-and-done thing, is it, church? It's not that you come up, you do this course, boom, you're set for the rest. It's an ongoing process for all of us, an ongoing process of change and transformation as we grow into the likeness of Christ, as we abide with him. So the key, given our size now, will be to focus on smaller groups. Smaller groups that study and learn together, or smaller groups that serve together. That's the place where we will find community and deeper connection with one another. We're going to have a big focus in September on learning together. Our vision for our discipleship programs is that over the next 3 to 5 years, that every term we develop a program, that every term there are a variety of small groups on offer. And that our vision is that every adult in our church would take part in one of those once a year, at least. And we want to design that so that it reflects the breadth of ages and stages we are at. We are still at the very beginning of that process. We really started it last autumn. And it is going to take time to build up that sort of programme. And we chose intentionally, and you'll have seen from the resources we've been doing since last autumn, we've chosen resources that we thought would bear fruit, and bear fruit quickly. And you know, already a third of all our adults have taken part in at least one resource so far. So if you're one of the two-thirds that hasn't yet, you don't know what you're missing out on. There's going to be some wonderful things coming up. And in the autumn, to extend this, we're going to take a whole church approach to our learning. And that's going to see Sundays and midweek groups, input and teaching, all connected up through a book and a Sunday sermon series looking at how we live in God's upside-down, flipped kingdom. We hope this will be an opportunity to involve the biggest number of people as possible in that place of learning. And again, we're going to look to use the new tools that we've got along at our disposal alongside the stuff that works. You know, we will be running things in a mixture of online, in person. We want to look to see how can we build on things like the Holy Week reflections that so many of you engaged with. Our online service, we're all part of that. Thank you, bless you for being with us. That's a key part of how we stay connected alongside being in the building. You know, it started from a place of necessity because we couldn't be in the building, and it's now part of the palette of how we can choose to stay connected. We might choose to primarily worship through this service, or a great deal of you do both. And think about it. It used to be, if you couldn't come to church on a Sunday, then you kind of missed it. I mean, maybe if your church recorded the teaching, you might catch up with that. But now, the beauty of these tools is that you can access church wherever you are, whether that's live or after the event. You know, weekly worship for all of us is, again, a key to growing in that abiding with Jesus. It's that place of putting ourselves in his presence with others. And again, in staying connected, the Venn diagram crossover space is huge, isn't it? Because we're going to keep creating social events. We're going to keep offering opportunities to serve our community on teams. Things like the Night Shelter, Noah's Ark, Coffee and Cake, The Grove, The Panto. You get the idea. You know, when we serve others, when we do the things that Jesus did and try and be his hands and feet, that's another place in which it helps us to abide, to know Jesus in us and to be that close to him. There has been a huge amount to celebrate over the past year, far more than time this morning allows me to mention. And I've kind of, you know, highlighted some of the things where we've seen growth, but there has been growth of all sorts. And do you know what? That's wonderful. It's great. But what we're seeking, what God is seeking, is fruitfulness. It's not about how many screens or how many bums on pews, but it's about how many of us are abiding in Jesus as he abides in us. And this next year, and I suspect in the years ahead of that, is to focus on getting the right trellis in place so that we can support the fruitfulness we've already seen and create support and room for even more. We want to help people get connected to Jesus. We want to help people get connected to his family here in Hanwell. And we want to help you to stay connected to him so that your growth process is an ongoing one. I am genuinely excited about what God has in store for us and where he is leading us. And I hope you are too. Amen.